a middle school division and a high school.
Okay, so you can meet separately.
Right.
Great, so the finalists, we'll notify them by email, and then we'll actually award the prizes and name who the winners are at our May meeting, which is actually going to be May 1st. So first Thursday of the month is going to be May 1st. And if you need more information, I'll send that to you, just get it from me. And then, since next month is our last month, that is also our elections, so for officers. So be thinking, if you guys have any nominations right now for any of the officer positions, does anybody have any nominations?
I'd like to nominate everyone who's officers now.
The current officers?
Yeah, you want to keep your position.
Does anybody want to keep their positions?
I'll keep my position.
All right, thank you, Candace. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so we have, me too.
Yes, definitely.
Then, all right, well, I'll be happy to do that, even though I feel like I didn't do a good job this year. I'll try to do better next year. So we need VP and secretary. And VP is in charge of programs, so that, keep that in mind. Secretary is one who takes notes, obviously. So we still, we can take nominations up through the next month's meeting. And if you're on Facebook, you can also nominate them on our secret Facebook group too. And anybody here on Facebook that's not in our group? Okay, just find us afterwards, and we'll, do we still have our QR code that's got the link displayed? Okay. Also, are there new PD faces here? You'll see a couple. Okay, can you, what's your name?
Karen.
Great, and do you write?
Yes.
Okay. Do you write?
Right now, I'm having very no short stories. They're generally southern flair, small town. I write a history now, but it just seems pretty really good.
Great, all right. Well, welcome. Anybody else?
I was a member, but I joined Pinsters and haven't been here for about 6 or 8 months.
Oh, okay, well, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
Okay.
Just in time.
Did you say you have nominations now for three positions, but not for five positions?
No, we only have nominations for two, treasurer and president. So we need a group of vice president and secretary.
That would be a good vice president, I hope they.
I'll see if I can throw one later.
I've got a lot coming up now, possibly I could, since the vice president is over, would you say operations or the?
Programming.
Programming, yeah. Yeah, that's a little bit more, but possibly I could do secretary.
Okay, all right. All right. Oh, got a new person?
I have a question of one comment, but I'm Brenda Collins.
Okay, great, what kind of stuff?
Brenda Davis.
Sure.
Brenda me.
I'm ready.
Well, welcome. And your duties?
I'm a silent member.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been to any meetings in a while, because I was running a workshop myself.
Oh.
splits pitch for me as well, so.
Great, all right. I thought that would be like something interactive that would be good to, you know, help people's skills on that. All right, great. Well, then, moving forward is our guest speaker, and Joaquin is an award-winning Southern fiction writer. His debut novel is Alabama Moon. Was released to national fame in 2006. He won the prestigious E.B. White Read Aloud Award and has been published in 8 languages. Gosh, a lot of languages. A feature film of the same name was produced in 2010, starring John Goodman and Jimmy Bennett, for which Watt actually wrote the screenplay for it. His follow-up novel, The Curve Road Home, was released in 2010, both domestically and internationally, and 4 Mile released 2 years ago, it's a year and a half ago, September 2012. Watt also wrote the original screenplay for the feature film L.A. Dirt, starring Michael Lord and Tracy Lawrence. In addition to his novels and screenplays, Watt writes fiction and non-fiction fiction articles for both local and nationally acclaimed distributed publications. So, ladies, welcome, Joaquin. Thank you.
So certain arc to most movies. It's into a three-act structure. And with a book, there's really no rules. You can get away with just about anything, but with a movie, you have, especially a family movie like Alabama Moon, I had 90 pages. Every page is a minute of screen time. By page 10, this had to happen. By page 20, this had to happen. By page 30, this had to happen. You know, like by page 30, the character had to be in a lot of trouble, and then you start getting sent the agent that had Bone Swamp Gang, I sent her out of element. And she got that, and she read it, she's like, I want to represent you. So I really had to look at both agents and decide which one was more reputable, and I had to turn one down. So like from nothing, all of a sudden, I had two at once, and I had to turn one of them down. And then out of element sold pretty quick, and it was, getting published has been certainly a lot easier since then. I kind of broke through the wall, and I can just send stuff up to New York, and I don't have to mess with query letters and all that stuff anymore. Writing books is still as hard as it ever was. But once you break through, you know, you don't have to deal with query letters anymore. You kind of change gears, and it's really, I won't say it's the writing part is definitely not easier, but it all sort of changes. I mean, you have deadlines, and you've never had that before, and it's different. I mean, it's definitely a job. But if any of y'all have any questions about, sure.
Well, how long did it take you to write out in the room? Was that a long, several years, or kind of a work in progress?
People ask me that a lot, and I had several going on at the time. Like, I would write a book, and I would send it up to New York, and I would probably keep sending it for about 6 or 8 months until I was finally just, it's like, this must suck, dude. You know, I'm gonna start on something else. So I would start on another one, and then maybe I'd get some glimmer of hope from the one before, and I'd go back and work on it. So by the time Out of Bound Moon came out, I'd been working on probably 3 at the same time. And as soon as I finished one, I started another. So I was working on another one while Out of Bound Moon was making the rounds. And it was hard to say the number of years, because I had put it down some. But if you boil it down into hours, I probably have about 500 hours in Out of Bound Moon. And I don't have that much in them now. I'm a lot better at it. After going through my first process with an editor, they showed me a lot of things I was doing that I look out for now. A lot of mistakes I would make, mostly grammatical. I was always terrible at grammar. And so said, there's nothing for me to come up there and sign. I said, no, you know, we just don't do things that way anymore. And his name was Robbie, and said, look, Rob, I've been doing this for 15 years. And I've just always, like, had it in my head that I was going to get to go to New York, and I was going to, you know, go walk down these marble halls while these old paintings of these famous writers. So I called my wife and said, okay, I just got the book deal on the New York. She said, really? I'm like, yeah, get your stuff ready. And it was like, this was probably in October. So we didn't get to go right away, but we set it up and went like the end of November. We flew up there. And Robbie knew I was coming. And I told him I was going up there, and he had something ready for me. I'd never been to New York before. My wife had been a couple of times. And so I was all worried about, you know, what I was thinking about, what am I going to wear, you know, because they're expecting me. Alabama Moon was a weird book that the publisher was just so redneck, and they're a pretty highbrow publisher. And I thought, maybe I ought to dress like, you know, put on some boots and you know, and I'll be like what they want me to be. And then he got off the phone and said, all right, Bobby, here's the deal. Came on and didn't wait anymore. I don't have to sign anything. You just tell me this. Like, so y'all bought the book, and y'all probably sit around some big table right every year and decide we're going to publish this one and this one. He said, no, we publish all the books we buy. Okay, so you're definitely going to publish my book. He said, yeah, we're going to publish the book. I said, so you can publish my book, but I bet like the bookstores, they might not want it right, they might not buy the books. And he goes, no, we're, you know, a major publisher, the books would buy all of our books. Mike said, my book's definitely going to be in the bookstore. He's like, yeah. I said, but I mean, it might not be in the Barnes & Noble in Mobile, Alabama, right? He's like, no, it'll be in all the Barnes & Nobles. I said, really? He's like, you just need to relax. I said, let me show you something. So he got out the you're behind the wall now. You ain't got nothing to worry about.
because you work a job, so how do you develop your time to do all this?
I typically write until about 10 in the morning, and it depends. I'll get up, and I have three kids, young kids too, so I'll get up about 5, and I write until about 6:30, then I go get the kids to school, and then on, you know, sometimes I'll have to drive, and I'll get back to the house at 8, I'll work another 2 hours, and
undercover in the Northern Monica. And 17 or 18 years ago, he had the best agent in New York who brought it to 15 different publishing houses. And they all told him that we can't take it. It's not in the correct or kind line for that genre.
Yeah.
And don't you know, a year and a half later, another one of his friends in the ATF wrote an undercover book about his work in the Hell's Angels and became number one. And it was much worse than Gus's book. Well, Gus put it away for 15 years. Now, I worked with Gus's dad in a box squad in the office. And so I told Gus, I said, I don't publish it. And I had to do very little editing. I mean, Church and a few other people helped me with it. They had a wonderful job. It was excellent. And formatted it, put its cover together, sent it off. For the past year and a half, it's been number one in England and in the top 100 in the United States true crime stories.
That's great.
So, you know, that's, it gives other writers an idea of the torment that you have to go through to be able to successfully publish with a big house publisher, and even how you can publish independently and become a success. So
well,
there's choices.
You definitely write about the timing. Sometimes the timing is just not right. It's also subjective, and it really just comes down to persistence. And another thing I would say, and I'm just basing this on what happened to me, but don't get stuck on your first book, because you know it really might not be that good. And if I'd have gotten stuck on my first book, I would have never made it. I got so frustrated. It would have never gotten published, and I would have gotten frustrated. But I think if you like to write enough, you know, you should always, after you finish your first book, start on your next one and be right while you're sending your first one out, because chances are your first book is not that good and it's going to get rejected. And you just got to always have something going on, if for nothing more, just to give you some excitement and some hope. And, you know, it's, I'm glad that I didn't stay focused on mine.
Do you bother with blogging and the website development and all that kind of thing, or do you have somebody that does that for you as far as your own personal? Do you have a personal website and blog?
I do have a website. I really don't do much self-promotion. I don't blog or all on my website. I mean, it gets updated when I have a book come out. And I should do more. I mean, the publishers more and more today than ever, you know, lean on you to do the promotions. I got a lot of traction without my own, and so I kind of have a built-in audience, and so I don't have to do as much.
Do you think you will ever go back and revise your first books and try again on them?
You know, actually, when I got